Thanks, Rob. It's a download here on 720 WGN. In studio with me, a regular here on the download. We haven't talked in a couple months. Howard Lerner, he's the president and executive director of the Environmental Law and Policy Center. So much. I did a promo today. We talked about this idea of the Environmental Protection Agency head, who's the nominee, Scott Pruitt, who is the attorney general from the state of Oklahoma. Is currently suing the Environmental Protection Agency. He has been, and it's blocking different things that have come out of the EPA from the state of Oklahoma. And when asked on Capitol Hill in the hearing if he would recuse himself from said lawsuits, he declined to say. So there's a way to interpret that, to say that the EPA chief, if actually confirmed, could be suing himself.
Well, I don't think he's actually going to be suing himself, Justin. I think what's going to happen is there's going to be a big ethics problem if he involves himself in any issues in which he was suing the EPA. Look, there's a series of standards that apply to all federal governmental officials. If you're in a decision-making capacity, which he will be if he's confirmed as EPA administrator, you have to recuse yourself from those matters you were involved in. And if you don't, not only are there penalties for doing it, but the actions you take get invalidated. That's what's supposed to happen. Look, President-elect Trump said he was going to drain the swamp. That's a place where he can start.
Well, all right. So let's talk about the Environmental Protection Agency and the Department of Energy.
All right.
Also, good to see you.
Good to see you, Justin. Right. Good to join you.
All right. So I'm fascinated by this hearing, and I've been paying attention to it because we've seen some numbers come out when it comes to global warming. This is the third straight year.
Third hottest year in history.
We're seeing more and more of the arguments about whether or not we think climate change is real or not, and it's playing out. You know, when you have a hearing like we have with Attorney General Pruitt, talk about what that means. I mean, you knew of him before he was nominated for this piece.
Look, Oklahoma Attorney General Pruitt has spent the last several years of his tenure as Oklahoma's Attorney General suing the EPA to stop safe water standards, clean air standards, mercury pollution reduction, the bread and butter of what the U.S. EPA does to protect our public health and safety. You know, this is about clean, healthy air. This is about safe drinking water and clean water in our lakes, our rivers, and the stream. He's been filing lawsuits to delay installing.
Why would anyone do that, Howard?
Well, there are really three reasons. First reason is he may have some ideological differences. Look, reasonable people can disagree on things.
This is federal versus state.
Right. He may think the EPA is going too far in a particular case. Right. He may think something is the responsibility of the state government. Reasonable people can disagree. All right? There's not a litmus test. You have to have everyone right. The problem here is he seems to think that everything that the EPA has done is wrong. And that goes beyond reasonable people having differences. It goes, first of all, to money. You know, there have been a whole series of articles that have come out in the media, come out in the congressional hearings, of how the very industries that are being regulated by the EPA are contributing to Attorney General Hewitt's Political Action Committee, his PAC. He's getting money from oil interests, from energy interests, from coal interests, you know.
Yeah.
That leads one to believe that maybe there's something going on there, the old line, follow the money. The other point is, you know, at some point here, the rhetoric is going to catch up with reality, right? It's fine when you're chirping from the outside to say, you know, those damn EPA regulations that protect against lead in the drinking water supply, I think the EPA is overreached. Well, let's back up here a minute. How many people do you think walking the streets outside the studio say, you know, I think it's okay if we have more lead or mercury in water?
Right.
How many people outside the studio, just people on the street walking by, whether it's Chicago or if it were Rockford or if it were Tulsa, Oklahoma, would say, yeah, really, I think if we have a lot of pollution in the air that makes me gag, that's all right. We shouldn't have any regulations under the Clean Air Act. The fact of the matter is, common sense, I think, and hope. And here's where I hope I'm right and fear I'm wrong. You hope for the best and you fear for the worst, that the rhetoric is going to come colliding with the reality that when it comes to safe, clean drinking water, when it comes to healthy, clean air, the American public isn't divided. Look what just happened in Springfield. Republicans and Democrats voted almost unanimously, if not unanimously, in the Senate, I think, to support a bill that reduces lead in the pipes of kids' schools and daycare centers. All right, Governor Rauner signed the bill. That was supported by both Republicans and Democrats. They had some things to work out, the House schools would pay for it and so forth. But the bottom line is, who's going to stand up on the floor of the legislature in Illinois? Who's going to stand up in Congress and say, you know, I really think it's okay if we allow there to be lead in the pipes of the schools where our kids go to the drinking fountain to get water?
This is what
the EPA protects
the
us on.
President Obama had a lot of initiatives. Some were executive actions when it came to the EPA. He was one of the, in terms of presidential movement, I mean, he really started to try to move the EPA into the 21st century. How much, because executive actions can be, you know, the idea being they're carried on by the next president. The next president can say, I don't want to do that and move on. There's technical things about that. But how do you see that playing out? Do you see President Trump taking a different approach than President Obama when it comes to protecting the water, the air, and dealing with issues like climate change?
Well, so far he's indicated that he will. But let's look. I'll put on my law professor hat here. There are three different types of things. There are statutes that are passed by Congress. That's the Clean Air Act. There are regulations that are issued after a long notice and comment evidentiary consideration period by the EPA or the Food and Drug Administration, make sure the drugs we use are safe for the Consumer Product Safety Commission on toys. And then there are executive orders that the president does. Okay. Executive orders, that lasts for the term of the president. So after President Obama is no longer in office, President Trump comes in. If there's an executive order, President Trump can continue it or he can get rid of it. Okay? That's an executive order. But when it comes to agency regulations, whether it's the Food and Drug Administration, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, or whether it's the EPA, there is a evidentiary administrative process that goes in with a lot of public participation, comments, considerations, science, facts.
Right.
That takes oftentimes a few years to enact a rule, if somebody says you didn't do it right, you get reversed. The same thing applies under something called the Administrative Procedures Act. Whether it was Obama to Bush or whether it's Trump to Obama, no president can come in and say, in effect, out damn spot, get rid of that regulation. There's a process. That process requires facts, data, evidence, and science.
I hear that. Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, President-elect Trump, tomorrow President Trump. I mean, they ran on the idea, too much regulation. First thing we're going to do, we're going to get rid of all this regulation, whether it has to do with Wall Street, whether it has to do with schools, whether it has to do with the environment. So the question, I mean, when I hear you talk about it in real life, it's like, well, it's a process to undo regulations, especially when it comes to the EPA. Are they being forthcoming or are they living in a reality that some of these regulations just cannot be sort of pulled back?
Well, first of all, this stuff does scare me, and it ought to scare most of us. When people talk about getting rid of EPA regulations that limit the amount of mercury that goes into the air and goes into our lakes and rivers, so in most rivers and lakes in Illinois, Lake Michigan, the Midwest, the public health agencies say it's not safe to eat the fish you catch, particularly for women who are pregnant of childbearing ages.
Right, right.
Mercury in fish is a neurotoxin. It harms fetal brain development. So for anybody to come in and say that regulation, which I believe Attorney General Pruitt, when he was in Oklahoma, sued to try to stop, that regulation is somehow excess regulation. Like I said, you know, poll people on the street. Should the EPA protect us against mercury being admitted into the air from coal plants and contaminating our water supply? Absolutely yes. So some point, these folks are going to have to deal with a public that says you're doing what? You're getting rid of regulations that are designed to protect healthy, clean air and safe drinking water. Hold on a minute. Secondly, they're going to find that it's one thing to spout off or send a tweet at 3 in the morning. It's another thing to actually follow the law and do the process right. And if you don't, you get reversed by a court. So rhetoric is going to collide with reality in two ways. They're going to have to follow the law. And secondly, once they begin messing around with things that deal with safe drinking water, healthy, clean air, you're going to see people around the country say, what are those folks doing?
All right.
We thought maybe we're overregulated, but not when it comes to, you know, kids' cradles and toys and safe drinking water supply and healthy, right, clean air.
Okay, so Howard Lerner's my guest. He's the president and executive director of the Environmental Law and Policy Center. I'm interested in, you know, we've seen both at the EPA and Donald Trump has talked about the Department of Energy, Governor Perry in at that position. But really what we've heard is, you know what, the EPA overreaches, the Department of Energy overreaches. What we need to do is cut back. We need to be more efficient with our departments, which is all code words for reduce, to be able to cut jobs, to be able to essentially shrink the size of the department. When it comes to the EPA, that means the field office in Flint, Michigan, or the field office here in Chicago that
the
watches
regional
Lake
office
Michigan.
In Chicago.
So, I mean, I think about that, and then it makes me go, okay, well, what if there's a spill? What if BP spills in Lake Michigan? Who's there to monitor that, to investigate that? I mean, that's where it kind of
Well, and that's the same question of rhetoric and reality. All right. Enbridge pipeline spilled on the Kalamazoo River. It was a disaster. You know, you're looking at spills in the Great Lakes, too. All right. You think any administration is going to have credibility when the public, when it says, we really don't have enough staff to deal with this spill here because we cut everybody's job last week? I mean, stuff happens. The public expects that there's going to be strong support of keeping our lakes and rivers clean, making sure we have safe, clean drinking water. So when we turn on the tap, it's good for us, for our kids, for our families, and that the air is cleaner and better.
Are you confident that's going to happen? I mean, from the Environmental Law and Policy Center, when you see the confirmation hearings for Attorney General Pruitt, Governor Perry, who has no history with energy. What's your personal or
you know,
for the
as I said, you hope for the best, but you prepare for the worst. You know, you have to judge these people by their track records. And when it comes to Scott Pruitt, his track record is ideological. It's a lot of rhetoric about attacking the EPA. Putting him as head of the EPA is a fox guarding the chicken coop. And I'm not optimistic about that. I think what we're going to see are a number of things happening at the EPA, and the public is going to say, that's not what we elected you to do, Mr. Trump. Public did not elect Mr. Trump to have somebody at the EPA who's not going to be a tough but fair enforcer of our environmental laws, of the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act. And if you see the EPA go and really whack the environmental enforcement budget, people are going to start saying, what are you doing? They'll also say, what are you doing when you see the practical impacts of that? It's one thing to say, we're going to cut the budget. It's another thing when you say, we're going to cut the budget, and then all of a sudden a spill happens and there's nobody minding the store. And that's when the rubber hits the road, and that's when people say, what are you doing? Look what happened in Flint, Michigan, when people said, what were the state agencies doing that were supposed to make sure that kids in Flint and families in Flint had water when they turned on the tap that would be safe to drink and not the opposite?
Let me ask you just, following the sort of ideological point of privatizing or saying that, environmental regulation can be done not just by the government, but by Environmental Law and Policy Center or by other not-for-profits and companies that are sort of safeguarding or paying attention to the different areas. Is this that kind of tactic? Like we've almost seen in the state of Illinois when it comes to social services. Is this going to be the same kind of governmental structure where we shrink the national, the federal Environmental Protection Agency and smaller private companies step in to help?
Well, the Environmental Law and Policy Center is going to step up if the EPA backs off. But there's no way in the world that we can fulfill their responsibilities. If the EPA doesn't enforce the environmental laws, we're not going to default to zero. The Environmental Law and Policy Center is going to step up. We're going to bring citizen suits under the Clean Air Act and Clean Water Act to do our very best to make sure that the most vital resources of the Midwest and people's health are protected. But we're no substitute for the EPA being there, being well-staffed, having talented people to do their job and do it well. You know, just think about it in a practical sense in Chicago. You know, who likes traffic lights, right? And who likes police, on Lakeshore Drive or somewhere? So let's pretend that we cut it all out, and we said, let's deregulate it, get rid of the traffic lights, don't worry about it. People will be courteous, and they'll make sure that if you're coming on, you know, the guy on the right is right. supposed to get the right of way, you know, and, you know, Lakeshore Drive, 40 miles an hour, right? You know, everybody's going to follow the law. We'll all be safe. Come on. There's a reason we have these things. Yeah. They're there to protect our health, our safety, and welfare. And I think we're going to see President Trump and his administration greatly overreach. And when they do that, the public's going to say, that's not why we elected you. The rhetoric is going to run right into reality. We're going to have to protect our health.
We're going to keep on top of this. Howard Lerner is the executive director and president of the Environmental Law and Policy Center. He's a regular here in the Download. Howard, great to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you for having me on, Justin.